Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, if this is what rat poison tastes like, I have to say, it tastes pretty good. Pretty happy with it. Georgia, the number one team in the country, at least according to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Their first rankings for the 2017 season came out last night. And if you really look back on the last few days for Georgia, there has been a lot of winning and a lot of good news to talk about. Whether it be clobbering Florida 42-7, beating them so bad they fired their coach the very next day, and sort of watching the disarray that exists down in Gainesville since then. Adding to that, the number one ranking last night, also peppering in all the recruiting wins for Georgia. This is almost more good news than one Georgia fan can stand. And yes, I know what you're going to say in response to this. Hey, keep chopping wood. You know, don't worry about that. Don't pay any attention to that. Don't focus in on any of that kind of stuff. And listen, for a moment, if you don't mind, I want to be very philosophical. Now, I'll try not to do this for very long. But there is something that I do feel like kind of has to be said here. That if we're honest about Georgia and what we saw last night, the issue with Georgia being number one is not so much an issue for the team and the coaches. I mean, they got that stuff taken care of, right? I mean, do you think Kirby Smart's going to let them buy into this even for a minute? Of course he's not. And, you know, as Kirby said this week, it's the leadership council that takes care of this stuff. You think Lorenzo Carter and Sony Michel, you think they're going to let these freshmen and sophomores strut around with, like, you know, number one T-shirts or something like that? No, they're not going to do that. This is not an issue for the coaches and players. I really don't think so, no matter what. I mean, this is not going to be a problem for them. If we're really honest here on Dog Nation Daily, on this program, we try to be. We try to be sort of an unvarnished, filtered look at what's happening around the program from the perspective of Georgia fans. If we're really honest here, number one in the country is not so much a problem for the coaches and players as it is for the fans. There is an issue that comes up when you see your team, when I see my team, the team that I followed my entire life, listed as the number one team in the country from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee's perspective last night. And part of this is based on the past. The last time Georgia was number one, 2008, it certainly didn't end very well, and it was kind of, you know, brought to its knees there pretty quickly on that. And it's also this thought of, you know, when Georgia eventually loses, or if Georgia were to eventually lose, being number one in the country is just going to sting that much more. You know, the fact that Georgia rose this high, if it eventually comes to an end, it's obviously just going to hurt that much worse. That's just sort of the fans' dilemma here. The more engaged you get with a team, and listen, I talk to Georgia fans every day, whether it be in the comment section on this show, be it the audio folks who respond later, the video folks who respond right there in the moment, people on Twitter, people just face-to-face when, you know, I'm walking the streets. There is an incredible level of engagement with Georgia fans with this team right now. And how could you not? The team has been just so much fun to watch. And every single moment, every single game sort of has its own storyline, and people just get wrapped up more and more in what's going on with the team. But the trade-off for that is the pain of the eventual letdown, if it were to come. And there's no reason to believe that it necessarily will come in 2017, but if it were to come, it's going to be that much worse because Georgia was ranked number one in the country. So can we at least be honest about this, that when people sort of push back on the notion of Georgia being number one, hey, keep chopping wood, focus on South Carolina, no let up, no letdown. This isn't so much from the fans' perspective about what they hope the coaches and players would do. It's almost more of a hedge, an emotional hedge, if you will, about just how much weight and significance is added to your shoulders when you think about being a fan of the number one team in the country. But the truth is, you know, as fans, I think Dog Nation ought to embrace this thing. And as I said a moment ago to start the show, I mean, wasn't it exciting last night? I mean, when you're watching that show on ESPN, if you were, and I wasn't watching it live, I recorded it and came back and watched it after the trick-or-treat festivities were over. So I'm, you know, sitting there and watching Reese Davis kind of run point on this deal, and, you know, they're listing the teams, and they kind of go 25 towards the top, and then when they get to final six, they started going one down to the bottom, and they sort of casually dropped in Georgia at number one. Now, I thought there was a decent chance Georgia might be number one, just based on how the committee's behaved in the past, but still, when you see that graphic pop up on the screen, that big big black G with that red background listed next to the number one team in the country. I mean, what was your initial response when you saw that? It had to be positive. It had to be good. And, yes, people are going to say, oh, Alabama's in the best position because they're not number one. They get to stay humble and hungry. Georgia's going to have the target on its back. So be it. That's fine. I think Kirby Smart and this Georgia team is more than fine with having the target on its back. And as Kirby Okut, the selection committee chairman, also by day the Texas Tech athletic director, as he explained last night, when you look side by side at Georgia and Alabama, there may be a debate, but the committee, I believe, picked the right team. Here's what Okut said about that.
We spent considerable time yesterday talking about the differences between Georgia and Alabama. We began our day this morning. We ended our day today with great debate, as passionate debate as I've seen. At the end of the day, it was the two wins against CFP top 25 teams for Georgia, especially the win over number three Notre Dame, gave Georgia the very slight edge over Alabama this week.
So listen, maybe this is the wrong attitude, maybe this is the wrong perspective, but I say bring it on. I can't promise you that Georgia's going to finish number one at the end of the year. I can't promise you that Georgia, if it plays Alabama's undefeated team in the SEC championship game, it's going to win that game. Obviously, Alabama's a very good team, good enough to be kind of the unanimous number two from the perspective of the selection committee last night. I can't promise you how this thing's going to end, but I like the idea of Georgia having that one next to its name right now. I don't mind the idea of Georgia having a target on its back moving forward. I mean, when you play as well as Georgia has played through these first eight games, that's just some of the attention that's going to come Georgia's way. And I think fans, to the extent that it's possible, ought to embrace this and get ready to enjoy it. Not that it's going to be easy, of course. There's still a lot of football left to play. And, you know, if you watched that selection committee show last night, you also get an indication of that. That while you know, the debate may be between Georgia and Alabama, the two SEC teams, one and two, and who's better, who's more deserving, and the showdown that would seem to be on its way for these two teams to play in December in Atlanta, as Kirk Herbstreit reminded us last night, there's another SEC team parked at number 14 right now with just two losses who still thinks it could be in this conversation. And if you're a Georgia fan and you're worried about the hype and the attention of being number one, you want to keep chopping wood, you obviously probably enjoyed what Kirk Herbstreit reminded all of Dog Nation last night about a team that Georgia still has to play. Here's Herbstreit talking about how dangerous Auburn might still be.
Everybody wants to talk, especially Chris Felica, the Bear, about these two-loss potential teams at the end, maybe having a shot to, for this year, for the first time, having a shot to get into the four. How about Auburn? With what they have in front of them, the big game with Georgia that everyone's almost assuming that we're already talking about, okay, Georgia-Alabama undefeated in Atlanta. What happens if Georgia loses a close game? Auburn's sitting there saying, aren't they come to Jordan-Hare? I mean, we still get to play them, right? So Auburn, if they somehow were able to knock off Georgia and Alabama, sitting there with two losses, I think Auburn is still a team that's thinking about trying to surprise some people, and they're definitely in striking distance if they're able to get a couple big wins late in the year.
So real quickly from me, kind of a good news, bad news situation. The good news is, if you're afraid about Georgia getting too much hype, being number one and the proverbial rat poison that Nick Saban talked about a few weeks ago, Kirk Herbstreit actually helps you out a little bit right there. And I think Las Vegas and the online sports books are going to help you even more, because they're going to make Auburn a point spread favorite when Georgia plays in 2 weeks. And yes, I know Georgia's still going to take care of South Carolina this Saturday. We'll have more on that in a moment. But when you look ahead to Auburn 2 weeks from now, no matter what the selection committee says, Vegas is going to make Auburn a point spread favorite over Georgia. So you got everybody in the country still saying that Auburn's a tough game for Georgia, and it is. And so if you're worried about too much attention, too much praise, too many pats on the back, the media, the betting public, and everybody else going to kind of help you out in that regard in a couple weeks when it comes to the Auburn game. You see some examples of that right there. But the bad news, to kind of go back to what I was saying before, is there's nothing that any of us can do about the emotional roller coaster we're about to go on from here. Yes, the fact that Georgia has risen to the top of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee poll makes this, one way or another, a month or two coming up that we'll all remember for the rest of our lives. And it is going to sting so bad if Georgia doesn't finish there. It just is. It's going to be awful. But that's the agreement we sort of enter into as fans to begin with, that we get deeply engaged with something knowing that success and happiness is going to be incredibly enjoyable and the opposite is going to be incredibly painful. But the truth is, when it comes to Georgia and its place in the 2017 season and whatever happens from here, I wouldn't want it any other way than the way that it is right now. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, fans of the number one team in the country, by the way. Thanks so much for being with us here on Facebook Live. Of course, you can watch us every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page. We're on the radio at noon every day in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, the capital city, if you will, of the number one team in the country. And, of course, in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found. We'll post the show for you at theworldfamousdognation.com or on iTunes or on SoundCloud. We try to make the show as easy for you to find as we possibly can. And Georgia, of course, still riding high from its 42-7 victory over the Florida Gators this past Saturday. And while we look back to last Saturday, we also look ahead a little bit as well. 361 days from right now, we'll do it all over again. Florida's going to find themselves a coach. And next year in Jacksonville in 2018, Kirby Smart and George are going to go back down there and make him regret taking that job. At least that's what I think might happen. We'll find out more 361 days from right now. And of course, when we look back on the trip to Jacksonville, one of the things we think about was our Dog Nation invasion to Jacksonville, brought to you in part by our friends at Marlowe's Tavern. Now, you know I love Marlowe's Tavern. I know y'all do as well. You've been with us for some of our Dog Nation events. I was mentioning the Auburn game a moment ago. Want to remind you to make sure you are with us this upcoming Tuesday. That's next week. We're going to be at Marlowe's in Roswell getting ready for our Dog Nation big game preview of the Auburn game, 6 to 8 p.m. We had a blast the last time in Brookhaven. I think we think Roswell's going to be a ton of fun, too. Jeff and I doing one of those sort of special off-air conversations. We'll talk some recruiting with you there. We'll also talk about just, you know, the path to the playoff for the Georgia Bulldogs. It's actually going to be a much more intense conversation this upcoming Tuesday, given where both Georgia and Auburn are ranked and kind of Alabama lurking there. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's Tuesday, Marlowe's in Roswell from 6 until 8 p.m. All right, we got a busy show. It's former Georgia quarterback David Green later on. David's stuff on Dog Nation Daily as of late has just been fabulous, and I'm looking forward to having him on today. I mean, such a good perspective from him because he played at Georgia. He can talk about, you know, how much his teams paid attention to their ranking. They had some lofty ones. Georgia's got one right now. That'll be good with David Green. We'll kind of get a big picture perspective from Mike Johnson here, also coming up in a moment. And we'll find out how Mike, the Alabama alumnus, feels about seeing his team ranked below the Georgia Bulldogs. That should be kind of a lot of fun coming up in just a moment here on Dog Nation Daily. Before any of that, though, let me ask you a serious question. Why does this stuff keep happening to Georgia? And what I mean is, we just had a whole conversation about Georgia being the number one team in the country. And if you look at the stats for Georgia, they're winning their SEC games by, I don't even know what, 30 points or something like that. They're blowing everybody out. They will go on the road. They beat a number three team in the country, Notre Dame. You'd think that most people would think Georgia's pretty good. And yet, every single week, somebody's talking some trash about how good Georgia isn't and what Georgia can't do and why Georgia's nothing to worry about. Why does this happen to Georgia every single week? I mean, it's not like they're New Mexico State. I mean, this is actually a team that's been pretty good thus far this season. Latest example of this comes from Chris Lammons, a South Carolina defensive back, who was asked this week, hey, which phase of the Georgia offense are you the most worried about? And Lammons didn't mince words about his answer. Here is the South Carolina defensive back.
Which phase of Georgia's offense provides the greater concern, the pass or the run?
The run.
What's the circumstance?
They can't pass.
I mean, what is going on there? Why do these people keep saying this about Jake Fromm? I mean, I swear to you, he's having a good year. And I don't know, you know, what Lammons is thinking there, because Georgia runs for 9 yards a carry, does he assume, or whatever I'm not sure what the exact stat is. It certainly seems about that much. Because Georgia's just, you know, gashing people in the running game, does he think that means that Jake Fromm is somehow incapable as a quarterback? That'd be like saying because Justin Verlander's dating or married to Kate Upton, he probably couldn't get any other girl besides that. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Because Georgia runs it so well, they can't pass. Yet we've talked about the fact that Fromm's leading the SEC in yards per attempt, the stat that I think matters more than any other. Many of you shared with me on social media last night that, I guess what, Fromm is leading the SEC in completion percentages for passes like 20 yards down the field. I mean, what is going on here with the misevaluation of Jake Fromm? And we had Oliver Conley on the show yesterday. Ollie did some deep dive into the stats about, you know, Fromm, the X's and O's standpoint, and this is a little bit, you know, sort of football X's and O's, but, I mean, Conley laid on the show yesterday just how good of a freshman season he thinks Jake Fromm's having.
I've been just mightily impressed with some of the nuances of Fromm's game from within the pocket. I just didn't think a player of his age would get there. Usually if they're dropping, they stare down at the rush, their feet get tangled up, they don't tie their eyes to their feet. That's a gigantic thing with these young players. And again, you see Fromm executing perfectly the stick, slide, climb, throw. And it's pretty advanced for a young player.
Listen, I mean, it'd be one thing for me to come on Dog Nation Daily and say, I think that Jake Fromm is advanced for a freshman. Y'all might say, well, Brandon's just got a bias. BA's just, you know, filling his role as the host of Dog Nation Daily. And that may be true if I were to say that. But Ollie Conley's from, like, England or something. And he doesn't, you know, cover just George. He covers all of football, not just even college football, NFL too. I mean, that's not a guy that writes for DogNation.com all the time. He wrote a thing about Jake Fromm. We put it on Dog Nation. That's an objective observer saying, I am blown away by how advanced Jake Fromm is as a freshman. And you got this, you know, Lammons guy from South Carolina saying that Georgia can't pass. Now, the good news for Lammons is he's not going to be proven wrong on this because Georgia's going to keep running the ball, you know, right up the gut for, you know, a million yards on Saturday. I just think it's funny that people keep saying these things about the Georgia Bulldogs. Nonetheless, it's good to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily. We'll have David Green later on. It wouldn't be a Wednesday, though, without Mike Johnson, my partner from AT&T SEC Country Live. Hope you enjoy that right now. And let's say hello to him. He is the co-host with me on AT&T's SEC Country Live each and every afternoon on the SEC Country Facebook page. It's Mike Johnson here on Dog Nation Daily. And, Mike, let me say good morning to you. Thanks for being a part of the program. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man, and congratulations to all the Dog fans out there, ranked number one in that college football playoff.
No, don't even start that. Don't even start that. Now, don't start trying to play these mind games. Now, I'm gonna tell you, I don't mind being number one. I don't mind having the target on my back. Of course, I don't have to go on the field and deal with it. But I said before you came on, I don't mind Georgia being number one. But it's so obvious what you're trying to do here.
Oh, no. I feel great about it. I picked Georgia before the year started in the SEC. So did you.
Yep.
And right now our picks are looking golden.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Both Georgia's looking good. Of course, you picked Alabama. I did not. But for now, Georgia's every bit as good as anybody could have thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. But on a serious note, let me ask you. I mean, what did you think about the decision by the committee last night? I guess you and I this week both thought that Georgia had a chance to be number one. Now, it's one thing to say they should be there. It's another thing to sort of predict what the committee is going to do. Mine was more of a prediction about the committee's behavior than it was an emphatic statement that Georgia's the best team in the country right now. But, I mean, what were your thoughts about the rationale given by Kirby Hokut, the idea that through these first eight games, Georgia has looked better than Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of merit to it. You know, obviously yesterday on the show, I thought that maybe there was a chance that Alabama would be picked number one just because they had been number one through a lot of the polls throughout the season. But, I mean, I think it's fine. When you match up the record side by side and you look at the victory over Notre Dame being a bigger deal than the victory over Florida State right now, then I understand it. It's like I told you yesterday. I mean, this is something the committee has been known to do. When they know something will play itself out in the end, and they have no problem front-loading this as an SEC type of college football playoff poll right now. They know that these two teams eventually will have to face off against each other. I thought the one thing that I kind of drew from last night's presentation of the top four was that there's a better shot now than there ever has been at two SEC teams actually getting into the college football playoff. I think that's kind of the way things played out. I think that if you are going to have a number one versus number two, potentially, if these two teams can keep winning out in the SEC championship game in Atlanta, then it's going to be hard to kind of pluck and pull and push when it comes to breaking down their records at the end of the year. It's going to be a very tough decision for the committee to make if you have that one versus two game. And so that was my biggest takeaway. I know that you know, there were some Alabama fans that wondered why they were number two, and there was a lot of Georgia fans that were happy or questionable about being number one, and I think it's fair to question either way, but the beautiful thing about it is the committee knows it'll play itself out in the end.
I actually want to talk to you about that very point that you just brought up here in a moment. Let me first, though, remind folks that Dog Nation Daily brought to you in part today by Georgia United Credit Union and the all-new Unified Checking Account, which gives you the comforts of a free checking account with the options to earn more. A simple, convenient, rewarding checking account that fits your lifestyle. Visit GUCU.org for the terms and conditions that apply to this account, federally insured by NCUA. So I guess the only thing I would question about what you just said about the possibility of two SEC teams getting the playoff, do you in any way feel concerned that the committee kind of dinging Alabama's work through the first eight games, if it were to be Alabama that lost the SEC championship game, that a one-loss Alabama might be looked upon less favorably than theoretically a one-loss Georgia would be? I mean, for instance, Booger McFarland on ESPN last night said that he thought that a one-loss non-SEC champion Alabama might not get into the playoff, that they needed the SEC championship to get into the playoff. Do you think that Alabama would be viewed less favorably as an SEC runner-up than Georgia would be?
Well, I think it's tough. I think it's all depending on who you're kind of, you know, putting them against. You know, if you're you're going to put them against Clemson and you're going to tell me that, you know, Alabama's got a worse loss in the SEC championship game against the number one team in the country than Clemson does on the road against Syracuse on a Friday night, then, you know, I think it's a tough pill to swallow. And I know the conference champion thing has been a big deal, but then again, you have Notre Dame sitting there at number three who won't have the ability to play in a game like that. And so I think it's going to be all about how this plays out. I think that, you know, the ability that Alabama has shown in recent years, maybe you shouldn't bring that into your decision-making, but I think it's going to be hard to do for you to kind of look away at a 12-1 Alabama team if they did lose to Georgia. So there's a lot of things left to be played out. It's all going to depend on who's sitting there in the number four, number three holes after that game is played. But Alabama's got some tough tasks coming up. You know, when, you know, I think SEC Country put out the SEC teams that were in the top 25 this past weekend, and I said on Twitter it reads like a roadmap for Alabama to really try to get their playoff hopes together. LSU is ranked right now, Mississippi State's ranked right now, and Auburn's ranked right now, and then Georgia obviously being ranked if they get to Atlanta. So those four teams right there, other than Alabama that are ranked in the SEC, Alabama would still have to play all four of those teams. So the strength of schedule will look a lot better in the end for Alabama and Georgia as well after that Auburn game, and you just have to pay attention to who's all going to be surrounding them in the top four at the end of the year.
I thought that Auburn was one of the real big winners last night at number 14. The committee sort of looking upon them as the best two-loss team in America. Do you agree with me that Auburn, whether deserving or not, looks like a pretty big winner from the committee last night?
I definitely think they do, and I think they've definitely been helped by LSU's ability to kind of turn things around after that Troy game. You know, LSU's got two losses, and they're a ranked team now. I think if they had really fallen off the table, similar to what Florida State has done after Alabama beat them, then I think you'd look at that and maybe think that that wasn't as good of a loss, I guess, as you would want it to be. As far as two losses go nationally, you know, I kind of look at Iowa State. I mean, they're a good team. They've beaten two top five teams. They're going to have the opportunity to try to do some good things later in the year as well this year. And there are some powerful two-loss teams out there. I don't think you can look away from any of those teams as being guys that couldn't have the ability to jump into that top four or five or six towards the end of the year. But Auburn's definitely one of them. I mean, the roadmap is still there for Auburn to climb back into this thing, and they have shown the ability to beat some good football teams. So I think they were definitely winners last night when you look at those two-loss teams in the poll.
But, and I want to get to the LSU thing in a minute, but when you look at, you know, Auburn ranked ahead of LSU, when you look at Auburn getting some more favor than some other two-loss teams may have gotten, I mean, at this point, now I made the case for Auburn before the start of the season. I still think this is a very talented team. I obviously very impressed with the Auburn defense. But when you look at the results on the field, I mean, what is the game that you circle and point to? Is it anything else other than the Mississippi State game? I mean, Auburn obviously looked very strong against Mississippi State, much the same way that Georgia did. I mean, is the entire case for Auburn made on the back of this team clobbered Mississippi State?
Possibly. And I think it's also the one, you know, the one score loss to Clemson that looks not too bad right now when you look at what Clemson's been able to do. I think that when you start to measure those losses up against each other, you know, it, obviously Auburn takes the loss against LSU in a very tight game, but then you look at the other loss, and they lost to Clemson by a touchdown, and LSU lost to Troy at home by a touchdown. And so I think when you start to measure those things up, although they have the same amount of losses, it really is hard to put the head-to-head into consideration when you talk about those two teams. LSU has done a great job of fighting back, but Auburn's played a tough schedule throughout the season, and I think that you're going to see the committee start to continue to look at things like that as we move forward.
Yeah, and on the LSU thing here for a moment, I mean, you know, it's one thing when a head-to-head, you know, matchup maybe tells you something that you didn't expect to see. For instance, if Oklahoma and Ohio State played again, my assumption is Ohio State would win that game. I think Ohio State's better than Oklahoma, even though Oklahoma won the time they played head-to-head. With Auburn and LSU, I'm not so sure. LSU beat Auburn head-to-head, and I saw Auburn with its offense on the field in the fourth quarter with chances to win that game and really unable to do it. You know, given the fact that, you know, I thought that LSU got a solid, fair, and square win against Auburn, is it fair for the committee to rank LSU so far below Auburn? Yes, I know the Tigers, at least the Baton Rouge version, lost to Troy, but were you surprised that the committee put a gap between Auburn and LSU?
I wasn't that surprised, honestly. I mean, I commend LSU for the turnaround they've had, but we can't look away from what they looked like early on in the year. I mean, actually, the Syracuse win they had, I think they won by 9 points, actually looks a lot better now when you look back at it than you thought
good
at
point.
The time. But, you know, still, I see the gap being there. This was this is not a good Troy team. I think when you look at that and say, oh, man, was that a good Troy team? You know, have they been beating everybody else in their conference and the games they've been playing? They turned around the next week and lost to South Alabama by a couple of touchdowns. And so I think you really have to weigh that loss differently. Like I said, I commend LSU and their players and, you know, whatever they had to turn to down there to get their season turned around, but it's just an extremely tough loss to look past when you start measuring them against some of the other two-loss teams. That Auburn loss against LSU, I kind of look at it maybe opposite of you. I think that if they played that game again, Auburn would clobber LSU. I feel that way, similar to what you feel about Ohio State and Oklahoma. I think that Auburn just took their foot off the gas in the second half and thought they had it in the bag, and it ended up biting them in the butt.
Of course, one way or another, Auburn would have to do any of this for the remainder of the season without Cameron Petway, the running back, whose season came to an end based on an announcement, or at least going to be out for a long time based on the announcement that came out yesterday. Let me go back to something else we were talking about before you joined us, and that's what South Carolina defensive back Chris Lamon said about Jake Fromm. Another one of these teams kind of talking trash about Georgia, talking trash about Fromm. It didn't work last week for Chauncey Gardner in Florida. It didn't work for Jonathan Abram earlier in the season against Mississippi State. And now Lamons kind of goes back down that road saying he's way more worried about the Georgia running game because Georgia, quote, can't pass. Why do teams keep saying this about Georgia? They're winning their games by 30 points.
Well, hey, B.A., this is poetic justice for me talking to you. You know, all the questions we've had about Jalen Hurts all offseason and, you know, his inability to pass. They're not asked to. And I think that gives you a bad frame of reference when you look at either one of those offenses, that these guys aren't really asked to pass that much. And so I think that when you look at it, you have to pick what a team's strength's going to be. And that's what the best coaches do in the SEC. They pick a team's strength and they try to keep them from doing it. And that's what you're going to see South Carolina try to do this weekend, load the box and force Jake Fromm to pass. But I think he's shown plenty of ability to put the ball on the numbers throughout the year and to hit some of his wide receivers and allow them to make explosive plays. I know that his total yardage isn't up there with some of the other quarterbacks in the SEC, but it doesn't need to be. I mean, when you look at the total yardage numbers and the guy who are passing for the ton of yards in the SEC, their teams aren't very good. I mean, you're talking about Mizzou and you're talking about Arkansas and you're talking about Ole Miss. So, you know, the teams are going to continue to question him. You know, he's only had one 300-yard passing game, I believe, but the good news for South Carolina and their defensive backs is I don't think Jay Fromm is going to have to pass the ball this weekend. I know that South Carolina's got a defensive front that has come a long way this year with a lot of young talent, but that Georgia rushing attack right now is undefeated, obviously, and I think they're going to be able to continue to do the same things that have made them successful. I don't think you're going to ask Jay Fromm to do a ton this weekend, and so that's probably good news for those cornerbacks out there, because I don't think anybody will be able to demonstrate that their words weren't true.
Terry Crews in the comments section said when it comes to Fromm, they see him walking on water and they say, yeah, but he can't swim. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the feeling I get there as well. You see DeAndre Swift and Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, you know, just churning them, you know, million yards a game, and you say, well, that must mean they can't pass at all. I mean, it really is kind of strange. And as you said, you know, the way to compile, like, you know, total passing yards is to be down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That's why teams like Mississippi and, you know, Missouri are compiling those yards because they're coming back and playing from deficits.
Yeah, listen, this was the same talking point. My entire senior year at Alabama was, you know, Greg McElroy can't pass the ball. And he did have some struggles, did have some turnovers. We had a Heisman Trophy winning running back. Trent Richardson was our backup running back that year, and we ran through a lot of teams. We had a lot of rushing yards. And so it wasn't until later in the year, really a 2-minute drill against Auburn in the Iron Bowl and being able to really come out and pass for some yardage against Florida in the SEC title game, that people really respected Greg McElroy as a quarterback. I think you're saying the same is the same thing that's coming out of Athens right now, where Jake Fromm isn't asked to do it, but I think that he'll answer the bell when he is. I think he's accurate enough and knows the offense well enough now, you know, midway through his freshman year, to where that he can answer the bell when he needs to. And you're just going to continue to get those questions. People are going to question anybody that isn't up there in numbers, and there's always going to be something to point to when you look at teams like that. But he'll have his chance to shine. I have no doubt that Georgia will continue to be able to, you know, a strong running team, and they'll probably march that running game right into the SEC title game, and hopefully Jake Fromm be able to answer the bell.
And the last guy that, you know, said something about Jake Fromm got toted off the field during the game when they played, so we'll see what happens to Lamons on Saturday for South Carolina. Speaking of Florida, what do you think about this coaching search thus far? You know, we've talked about this a bunch. Who can remember what anybody says? Do you have a favorite for the Florida coaching job right now, the guy that you think deserves the job more than any other?
I don't know if this guy will get the job, and I don't know if they'll even look at him, but Campbell from Iowa State right now, to me, is just a perfect fit. You know, he doesn't have any ties to Florida. He's not like a guy like Dan Mullen, who's been in the SEC and has been semi-successful. When you look offensively at what Iowa State has been able to do with really a third-string quarterback, a guy who's on his fourth college, That's what you want in a head coach down at Florida right now, somebody that can bring these quarterbacks along. He's been at Toledo as a head coach and done great things offensively. He's been at Iowa State now this year and done great things offensively, and I think that's something Florida needs to find. I know that all the whispers out there have been about Mike Norvell at Memphis and Scott Frost at UCF and obviously Dan Mullen with the ties to Scott Strickland. But I don't know if any of those are home run hires. I think that Mike Norvell would probably be better suited going to Tennessee. I think that Scott Frost at some point will end up landing at Nebraska, the place he went to college. And so I look at a guy like Campbell, you know, sitting over there in the Big 12 who would love to make a move down to Florida. And I think he's very, very well suited for what Florida needs in a head coach right now.
Listen, I think you would agree with me. This is a really fun time of year to be talking about college football, whether it be coaching changes, whether it be, you know, a lot of recruiting wins for these SEC teams, moving towards a whole handful, including Georgia in the college football playoff conversation. A great, great day to do AT&T SEC Country Live. I'm looking forward to doing it with you this afternoon. We'll talk about all this stuff, and Georgia's obviously going to be a big part of that. Mike, thanks for your time here on Dog Nation Daily, and we'll look forward to seeing you this afternoon.
Listen, man, November is going to be a very, very fun month for a lot of these college football programs. I look forward to talking it with you every day. Looking forward to today as well.
Good stuff, Mike.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Mike Johnson. We'll see him this afternoon. AT&T SEC Country Live on the SEC Country Facebook page. It starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time as we get ready to transition to our SEC Through. Let me remind you that Dog Nation Daily today brought to you in part by our friends at MyBookie. And, you know, when you think about holiday cash, you know you need it. And I know where you can get some. It's at MyBookie, the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. You know, if you hard to believe, but the holidays are actually just around the corner. Well, that means plenty of parties, gifts, and spending. It also means there's a lot of football, basketball, even hockey you can score big on every day. Man up and play like the pros. You can play the money line, the side, or the total. MyBookie's your hookup for all your betting needs. Offers the fast payout when you win. That's why you want to trust MyBookie. You can check them out online at MyBookie.ag. Enter the promo code DOGNATION. That's D-A-W-G. Your first deposit will be matched up to 50%. That's at MyBookie.ag. Enter the promo code DOGNATION. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's talk about our SEC teams in the college football playoff top 25. Where was Georgia ranked again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Number one in the country, the very top of the list of the Georgia Bulldogs. Below that, you do have Alabama at 2. You got Auburn at 14. Mississippi State at 16. And LSU at 19. And the interesting conversation that Mike and I were having a moment ago is kind of how you compare Auburn and LSU. You know, I was very high on Auburn at the beginning of the season. I thought that would clearly be Georgia's toughest game this year. As it turns out, that is indeed going to be true, at least in terms of regular season games. But when you think about the distance the committee's putting between it right now and LSU, a team that beat Auburn, there is a part of me that doesn't quite understand all of that. I mean, yes, I know Auburn lost to Clemson and LSU lost to Troy. I do get that. But, you know, LSU still beat Auburn, and LSU's got its chance against Alabama on Saturday. Now, if you had to tell me which of these two teams most likely to beat Alabama, I would still say Auburn's the more likely to get the win against the Crimson Tide. But it is kind of interesting here that the committee favors Auburn so much more over LSU. Let me also mention Mississippi State here for a moment, because Mississippi State sliding in at 16. And by the way, Bulldogs did a great job of kind of going and getting a pretty significant road win against Texas A&M on Saturday, earning that number 16 ranking. And as y'all know, I know you're very much aware of this, that spot that Mississippi State occupies really helps Georgia. To have beaten the number 16 team in the country as badly as Georgia beat Mississippi State just bolsters the Georgia resume. Same thing for the win against number 3 Notre Dame. Georgia very much helped right now by the really good season that Mississippi State is having. And obviously, as Kirby Hokut said earlier in our show, that comparison between Alabama and Georgia is going to be ongoing. And for now, at least, I think the committee got this right. Okay, so I want to make a case for something. And I know that y'all are going to think that I'm being idiotic about this, and maybe I am. But I at least want you to understand where this comes from. Obviously, I want Florida to hire the worst coach it possibly can. I've never pretended to be objective about that. I'm not, you know, serious capital J journalist when it comes to that kind of stuff. I do the show from the perspective of a fan, and I'm the kind of fan that wants to see Florida suffer. So I want Florida to hire a bad coach. But let's say for a moment I didn't want that. Let's say for a moment I was objectively viewing who Florida should hire, who would be the best choice for the Florida Gators. Here's the thing. You'd want a guy that has experience as a head coach. Experienced head coaches outperform inexperienced coaches on average when all things are equal. You'd want a guy that has proven that he could recruit. The guy I'm thinking about has. You'd want a guy that was duplicating from a mentality, the same thing that Nick Saban's doing at Alabama, that Kirby Smart is doing at Georgia. I mean, that'd be the perfect picture, the perfect composite of who Florida should be looking for as its coach, right? I mean, if you could get all those things, you'd feel like you had the best hire you could possibly get. Shouldn't Florida rehire Will Muschamp? Now, I know how dumb that's going to sound, and I'm sure you're shouting at your device right now about me just saying this just to be dumb on purpose. The truth is, I guess I'm partially kidding because I wouldn't imagine this could ever happen, but there was some talk the other day about Tennessee rehiring Lane Kiffin, and I don't think Lane Kiffin's anywhere near the head coaching candidate Will Muschamp is. I mean, Muschamp's winning at South Carolina. He's recruiting at South Carolina. When he was at Florida, he was putting top five classes together. I mean, Jim McElwain barely cracked the top 20. He did not crack the top 20 in 2015, missed the top 10 in 2016 and 2017. Muschamp is such a better recruiter than Jim McElwain. I know it would never happen, but I think that's the best hire that Florida could make, and we'll make that your SEC through. And now we'll get ready to transition over and get ready to talk to the former Georgia quarterback, David Green. Of course, when David comes on, we have a lot of fun talking about the current state of the Georgia Bulldogs, and we'll also talk about a big autograph signing as well that takes place at Tailgate Apparel this Saturday before the Dogs take on Will Muschamp's South Carolina Gamecocks. Let me say good morning and welcome David Green back to Dog Nation Daily. David, how you doing today?
Brandon, doing good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well. It's good to have you on the program. And I got to ask you, you know, you're not just a former Georgia player, a UGA alumnus. You're also a longtime follower of the program. I think it's safe to say you're a big Georgia fan. As a guy that was tuned in last night, how did it feel for you to see that Georgia logo show up next to the number one as the top team in the country, according to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee?
Well, I tell you what, it certainly made me proud. You know, it's good to see on a national level that you know, I think Georgia's getting the respect that we deserve. I think in years past, you know, it was always one. Everybody's, well, Georgia's going to flop. You know, people, I think, you know, at this point really know that this team is legit, a serious contender. You know, as a player and even a fan, you know, I really wouldn't mind seeing us stay in the number two slot because these polls really don't matter.
Sure.
Right now. But then again, Brandon, you know, I think it does. We're going to find out a lot about the maturity of this team because playing a number one spot, I mean, there's certainly a spotlight on you. And hopefully, you know, the guys playing with it this weekend will be able to just concentrate on their business. You know, when Kirby talks about, you know, just keep chopping. And if they can just keep executing, keep their head down and just, you know, play ball like they've been doing, you know, though they should be fine.
And I want to ask you about that in particular. Obviously, you know, so many fans are going to use the phrase you just used of keep chopping that wood and head down, stay focused. I think this team has been incredibly good at that, the best that I can tell. But you're a guy that actually lived through this. You know, your 2002 team, I believe, was ranked in the top 10 every single week of the season. Very high ranking by the end of the year. So you know what it's like to kind of live with sort of a lofty number next to your name. Were you aware of that? Did the team know that? I mean, the coaches will say, hey, block that stuff out. But players, you know, ignore coaches' instructions all the time. I mean, how much were y'all aware of, especially in 2002, the fact that you were kind of, you know, a single-digit number next to your name for most of the year?
You know, we were certainly aware of it. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, that year was special. I mean, the confidence that we had as a team, it was a very, you know, calm feeling, though. I mean, we were extremely hungry. We were extremely focused. We knew our strengths and weaknesses, and we played together as a team. And when you got a close group of guys that are willing to play for each other, that know that you've got enough respect for your opponent, where you know you got to bring your A game every week. And if we don't, we got a chance of all of our hard work we've done to this point go away. And so I think if you can have that healthy dose of I'm going to respect my opponent, but at the same time I got a lot of confidence and I love my team and my brothers, that's really where you want. You don't need to be the guy that's, you know, searching your own name on Twitter, seeing what everybody's saying about you and the Dog Nation. I mean, you got to quit worrying about that because that's the kind of stuff, as, you know, the coaches say, the rat poison. And you start drinking that juice you're going down the wrong road.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well said, for sure. You know, one of the things I heard from a lot of our audience on in the last couple of weeks is, you know, you talking about how, what the Florida win meant to you when you got it in 2004, and, you know, the disappointment that you had for some of the games that you maybe let it get away against Florida and previous Georgia teams that you may have witnessed. As a fan of this program, as a guy who won a game against Florida and knows the importance of this series, how much did Saturday mean to you to see 42-7 against those Gators? It had to be a special time for you, right?
Well, the thing that I love about this team is, you know, I've seen previous teams and even teams where I were all, you know, have some success in the SEC, but I haven't seen a Georgia team dominate to where a team really where you just make another team want to quit. And, you know, that's essentially what happened. I mean, I was actually at a flag football game for my son at the beginning of the game. And next thing I'm getting text 7-0, 14-0, then 21-0. I thought it was a joke to begin with, but it was incredible. And it was actually funny because we were riding home from the game and my son, my oldest son goes, man, Dad, I kind of feel bad for Florida. And I said, oh no, son, never, never feel bad. We got to keep the pedal down. I want this thing in the 60s if we can get there.
That's what I call raising them right there, David. That's the
that's right.
Taking the wisdom of the ancients and passing it down to the next generation. I like that.
That's exactly right.
Hey, let me finish up with this. You've obviously got a big event coming up on Saturday, the autograph signing for Lindsey Scott. Speaking of beating Florida, obviously Lindsey was a huge part of that win in 1980 against the Gators. He's going to be at Tailgate Apparel. Now, we love Tailgate because they got that great sort of old-school UGA apparel. It's right there, 279 East Broad Street in Athens, Georgia. It's a great place to be. Just really anytime you're shopping for some UGA gear, but also this Saturday for a chance to get to meet the legendary Lindsey Scott from the Run Lindsey Run 1980 game. Tell us a little bit more about what's going to go down this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think the weather is going to be beautiful. And to begin with, obviously, I think Athens is going to be rocking Saturday. So many folks are excited about the way the Dogs are playing. So certainly come by. Lindsey Scott, one of the great all-time legends at Georgia, is going to be at Tailgate from 12:30 to 2:30. And I tell you what the neat story is we just actually found Lindsey. He was walking in the store one day. I was like, man, this stuff is awesome. I would love to be a part. And our store manager, Chantel, called me and said, hey, Lindsey Scott was in the store today. And so I called up Lindsey and said, man, Lindsey, we would love to have you sign because we know there's
awesome.
So many dog fans. They would love to be able to chance to say hello and get to see him and the whole deal. So he's going to be in town. He's coming up from Valdosta for the game, so we're excited to have him.
Hey, David, that's a great story. Looking forward to Saturday. Going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for your time here on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you continue to enjoy this ride with the Dogs, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Sounds good, Brandon. Thank you, buddy.
Good stuff there from David Green. How about that story about Lindsey Scott? You know, just kind of a sort of a humble, unassuming guy. I met Lindsey a couple years ago at a golf tournament, and super guy, super nice guy. And one of the real thrills for me was I know Buck Ballew a little bit, and Buck was there. He threw the touchdown to Lindsey Scott. Lindsey was there. I sort of pulled both of them in close and kind of got my picture with both of them at the same time, just really thinking back to that great 1980 game. And it's going to be really awesome to see Lindsey Scott signing autographs, Tailgate Apparel in Athens on Saturday. That's the old Harry Bissett's building in downtown Athens, if you're curious about that. To close out our show today, I thought that Seth Emerson had a really good piece at DogNation.com this week, kind of looking at why the Georgia offensive line is different this year and why the results are better for the Dogs when it comes to the running game. I thought Chad Peltier on Twitter, who has done some analytics work, had some interesting work on that, compared Georgia this year, 20th according to one advanced stat in terms of the rushing attack, from 82nd last year. A huge example of how much the Dogs have improved. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.